This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. In recent weeks, I've been traveling around the country speaking at various Bible prophecy conferences. And that's been a really good thing and a blessing because I get to meet so many of you, the listeners of this program, the Paul McGuire Report, those of you that regularly tune in to this radio program, those of you that watch our prophetic video alerts that we put up on the internet, those of you that follow us on Facebook and sign up for the YouTube channel, those of you that sign up for the, all this stuff is free, obviously, sign up for the Roku channel. We got like, I don't know, something like 160 hours, I've lost count, of intensive Bible prophecy teaching, connecting current events, American prophecy, stuff like that, and shot and broadcast quality television for you to watch free from Paradise Mountain Church, where I teach and preach. And most of you haven't been there yet. You need to go to the paulmcguire.us website, and that's kind of like the portal. Sorry for the term portal. It's kind of like the portal to all the free media that we produce. And again, that's paulmcguire.us. And before I forget to tell you, the the time of being able to buy my brand new book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. We're running out of time for you to get it at a discount. So if you want to get it at a discount, and I know a whole lot of you will, please do yourself a favor. Order it now. If you pre-order it now, you get a financial discount off the price of the book. You get your copy mailed to you before it's made available to the general public, and you get an autographed copy. Now, the thing is that what's important about that is that the book is at the printer, being printed as we speak, Lord willing, and then it gets mailed very quickly to all the people who pre-ordered the book. And the way that works is those people who pre-ordered the book farthest back, they get their copies rushed, but everybody who's pre-ordered gets their copies rushed to them. Okay, so you won't have to wait much longer. Give us a couple of weeks and you should be in your mailbox. Now, don't quote me when I say a couple of weeks. You know, it's basically a couple of weeks, maybe a little bit more, but not much, okay? Because that thing is done, and I thank God for that. But I've met so many of you that want the book. Don't wait. Do yourself a favor. You're going to get it anyway. So why don't you take advantage? I would like to see you take advantage of the financial discount because you're listening to this program on a regular basis. Many of you are my partners. You're my partners in prayer. You're my partners in distributing on the internet the information and the teaching we provide. And you're my partners financially with your donations and contributions. So I would like to see you, you know, enjoy the discount, you know. So pre-order it now before the discount expires. Pre-order it now at paulmcguire.us, and it won't be very long. You'll have your copy. I'm anxious to hear the feedback, which I know will be good because I've given talks at these conferences where I've talked about the book, and the feedback has been overwhelming. In fact, here's the interesting thing I really wanted to share with you up front. In every one of these conferences, including the meetings we hold at Paradise Mountain Church, where I have ministered, I'm usually like the kickoff speaker to get the thing going, get the fireworks going. And at every one of these things, revival has broken out. It's a really interesting thing. And now listen to the formula. I don't like to use the formula because it sounds gimmicky. I don't I need to clarify what I just said. I don't use a formula. I seek the Lord. But if I'm analyzing it, if I'm saying, well, gee, why is God working this way? Why is revival breaking out? Then I use my mind like you do yours to break down the components and look at, well, what's God's formula? That's what I'm trying to say, really. What is God's formula? Not my formula. And it's because I teach on Bible prophecy, and many others do too, thank God. But I also teach on repentance, personal and national, and spiritual warfare and things like that. The Lord is blessing that message. That's what I'm trying to convey to you in a kind of long-winded way. The Lord is blessing the message of the book, and the Lord is blessing the message of that I give at the conferences. The Lord is blessing the message I give on the radio program, TV program, so on and so forth. The Lord gave me that message. The Lord's anointing that message, and the Lord's using that message very, very powerfully. And I share that with you because Jesus Christ said we're to judge a tree by its fruit. So in other words, one of the ways you evaluate whether a ministry like Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church, or whatever ministry or church you're evaluating, according to Christ, the way you evaluate, one of the ways you evaluate the validity of a ministry is it producing healthy spiritual fruit? See, you know that and I know that. And then, of course, there's other things like, is the doctrine being preached and taught, is the doctrine biblical? Is it sound doctrine? And are souls being saved? Okay. These are the things that we look at to determine whether an individual Christian life is bearing fruit. And these are the things we look at to determine whether or not a ministry has validity and is a ministry that God is using and blessing. So when I go before the Lord, like you go before the Lord, I just don't, Paul McGuire doesn't come up with an idea for his books. I don't sit down and say to myself, gee, how can I write a really clever book that will sell a lot? Now, there are many people who do that, especially in the secular world, but also in the Christian world. I've written like 32 books, and I never sit there and calculate, gee, what can I concoct that will sell a lot of books? That doesn't mean I'm not aware of marketing. Of course I am. You have to be, you know. But the most important thing is not marketing. The most important thing is not what idea can I concoct or you concoct. The most important thing is, am I, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I am, who's been supernaturally called to preach the gospel, which I am, it's a supernatural calling. Am I seeking God, and am I listening to God's message, which is always derived from the Word of God? But you see, when we study the Word of God and we're praying that God would give us His message, then the Lord will amplify or light up sections of His Word, if you will, and then He gives a faithful Bible teacher or preacher a burden or a guidance to preach on those topics that are in the Word of God. Now, if a minister is faithful to do that, or an ordinary Christian is faithful to do that, then you see healthy fruit, and that's how we measure whether or not a ministry is fruitful. And God wants our individual lives to be spiritually fruitful, and He wants our ministries to be fruitful. So I'm sharing this with you is because when I go speak at these conferences, I get the unique opportunity of meeting people from all over the United States of America, sometimes the world, and many, many times, it's the first time I get to meet people who are regular listeners of this program, The Paul McGuire Report, or who are readers of the books I write, or who are tuning in to video prophetic emergency alerts, or who are watching the Bible prophecy teaching I give on the Roku channel. And it blows my mind, many of these people that I've never met before, many of them contribute financially. I'm very thankful. I know their names, see, because when people donate or make a contribution to this ministry, I'm involved in everything, okay? And I'm not talking about when I'm involved in everything. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not a control freak who has to be involved in everything. It's just that we're a small business, a small ministry, and because we're a small ministry, you know, everybody's involved. So I see the letters that come in. I get familiar with the names. I read the letters. I read the prayer requests. I pray for people. And so the names of the people who are contributing and donating to the ministry, or just people who want prayer or write in a prayer request or send me information or whatever, you know, I get those names begin to be familiar to me. So people walk up to me at conferences, and all the time I hear this, and I want you to know that because many of you have chosen to be partners with this ministry. I hear constantly, so just in this conference, I got back from a conference like in Texas like 2 days ago. Well, not 2 days ago. Let's be accurate here. The conference I spoke at in San Antonio, I got to bed, that's using the word very loosely. I really didn't get to bed. I think I drifted off for 45 minutes of sleep. So essentially, from last night, I've had about 45 minutes sleep all the way into today. And so that makes you a little bit, you lose some of your focus. But that's not the point. The point is that for me, that is often a normal day. So I get to meet people at these conferences. And in fact, on the plane, the Lord arranged the person I was sitting next to, and I don't want to divulge anything that would reveal identity. I mean, I'm not saying the person was a famous person. What I'm saying is I always protect people's identity. But I had a 3-hour powerful conversation with this individual who was a Christian leader and a Christian minister. And this person really understood a lot of things that were going on. But I felt very led to share with this minister some things that I share with you regularly. And this person was open to the truth. They were hungry for the truth, see? They weren't resistant. And so I said, you know, I don't expect you to accept what I'm saying because it's going to sound probably challenging to you or foreign to you. But as you study it, research it, and process it, you'll come to understand that these are critical truths that God wants us to understand. And see, I was able to, because God arranged a divine appointment on the plane after I had about 45 minutes sleep, had an intensive 3-hour conversation where this person shared very powerful truths to me in certain things, and I shared very powerful truths to them. But the kind of truths I share with you. So people come up to me, like at this last conference, and this is the norm, and the reason I'm telling you this is I want you to be very clear about something that I probably should be more regular in doing, which is reporting to you personally the results, the fruitfulness of the ministry. So I had a whole bunch of people come up to me who said, it's always something, I just started listening to you like 90 days ago or 6 months ago or a year ago, or I've been listening to you for 5 years, or I've been listening to you for 10 years. And many times I'll know their names if they've written in or emailed and stuff. But many times I'd say most people don't contact you, so I don't know their names. And I wouldn't even know that they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as a direct result of listening to this radio program or watching the videos I produce or reading the books I write. I continually meet, such as this last conference, people who hated Christianity, were in the New Age, were into witchcraft, were just totally into rebellion, a rebellious lifestyle. And because this ministry kind of is out of the box, they could relate to it. And they ended up, many of them, constant. It's a constant thing that goes on. They end up praying the sinner's prayer with me when I, you know, say these prayers over the air. A lot of people don't do that anymore. They think it's old-fashioned. I don't care whether it's old-fashioned or not. God told me, when he prompts me to, God told me to lead people to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and ask Christ for forgiveness of sins. God told me to lead people in the sinner's prayer live on the air. And I do that, and it's always done by faith. But I get to meet the sizable numbers of people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of what they heard on this program. You see, this program is an evangelistic vehicle. It's a Bible teaching vehicle. It's a discipleship vehicle. But it's an evangelistic vehicle because what's going on in our society has never gone on before. People everywhere in every age category. And the ironic thing about this ministry is we reach such a diversity of age groups, such a diversity of racial and ethnic groups. It just continually blows my mind. A very high percentage of females, males. I mean, you know, it blows my mind. There's not, if you say, who's the typical Paul McGuire listener? There isn't a typical Paul McGuire listener because there are all kinds of people. But one thing where you could say the typical Paul McGuire listener, if you were going to use those words, would be is they have an unusual hunger for God. That they are hungry for God. They're hungry for truth. They're hungry for answers. And by God's providence and God's Holy Spirit, he leads them to hear this program. And then they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior because they're hungry for God. And people who listen and watch this program are hungry for the truth. They see what's happening in our society, and they want answers. They want somebody to explain to them what is going on in the world all around me. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? From the Bible, you see, I try to focus in as intensely as I can in everything that I do. So, and I believe that this, what I'm sharing with you now, is directly available to you should you choose to take God up on it, for lack of better words. If you will regularly go to the Lord and ask him for wisdom and guidance and direction, if you will pray to the Lord when you need to understand something, God will be faithful and explain things to you. So I try to look at what's happening in our nation and around the world, and then I ask God to interpret it for me. Lord, what's going on? What's going on behind the scenes? How does this affect your kingdom, Lord? How does it affect your word? How does it affect the last days? And then when the Lord speaks to me, and I'm not talking about an audible voice, the Lord speaks to me through his still small voice. The Lord speaks to me through the research and study intensively I do of the truth of history, etc. And the Lord speaks to me through intensive study of the Word of God. And then I'm able to interpret it for people. And the difference between me and, let's say, Fox News, besides the fact that Fox News has billions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars to play with, is that Fox News just reports the problem. They don't probe very deep, and same, and the others are worse. And they don't allow for a serious discussion of the most important dimension of what's going on, which is the spiritual dimension. They are completely lacking an in-depth understanding of current events based on the most important evaluating principle available, which is the evaluating principle of the Word of God, the evaluating principle of the spiritual dimension behind current events. You see, track with me on this. How can you possibly know what's going on if you're a believer in Christ? And I want you to completely track with me on this, because when you track with me on this, I think you're going to be surprised. How can you possibly expect to really understand what is going on in our world and why, as God, as our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do, by the way, how can we possibly understand what's going on if we're looking to information sources and news sources which completely omit and don't recognize the most important part of reality, which is the spiritual reality or the spiritual dimension behind the current events and the news events? How can we as believers expect to have any clue or any understanding of what's really going on in our nation and world if we're feeding on purely secular news information outlets? Yes, we're getting a limited amount of information in terms of, like, let's say, secular perspective news. But that's just a little piece of the pie. Reality's bigger than that. You can't understand what's really going on unless you understand what is going on in the spiritual dimension and how the Bible relates to it. So you've got all these believers in Jesus Christ who love conservative radio and conservative programs and conservative commentary and Fox News, etc. And there's nothing wrong with that. You'll get, in my opinion, more truth there than you will in most places. I mean, before the Lord called me to make a decision, I had kind of two careers at the same time. One was, I was a Christian radio talk show host, nationally syndicated, but also I was a very well-known, powerful debater as a conservative radio talk show host. And I was on the biggest shows on cable news on a constant basis as a conservative. So I've been in both worlds. I know what I'm talking about. But the real answers that God's people need, that all people need, can only be found when you're interpreting the news through the lens of Bible prophecy, the lens of God's Word, and through the Holy Spirit. And see, we're so used to, I'm very passionate about this, as you can tell, we are so used to being bathed in a news and information environment that is completely devoid, completely empty of a biblical perspective, of a biblical spirituality. That's become our normal, and we don't even realize it. In other words, we kind of have slipped in. This is the warning for believers, by the way. And I felt this way for probably two decades. And that's why I made a decision. The reason I made the decision, I was at the crossroads. I don't want to go into the specifics, but certain doors had opened up for me at a very large cable news network in terms of the possibility of me having my own show. It would have been a big show. I would have been famous, a household name. I would have made a ton of money, okay? And I would have had a very powerful voice. And I can hear some of you say, well, why wouldn't you take that? Well, that's a good question. Why wouldn't I take it? I had to make a decision. And the decision was, what, God, what do you want me to do? Because there are a lot of, not everybody who's a conservative is talented, but there are a lot of very talented conservative radio people and television people, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, there are. You can always, they can always use more, but there are a lot of people doing that. But there are very few really gifted and talented Christian commentators who make commentary on the news, etc., who incorporate the Bible and the truth of God's word and Bible prophecy. So there were two doors before me. One was like a very prestigious door, a lot of money, a lot of power, a lot of visibility. Nope, no question about it. And I could have done some good, no question about that either. But I was seeking the Lord. See, what's more important than just all the mechanics of how much power and money you can get, is that what God wants for Paul McGuire's life? Now, I'm not knocking anybody, because God may want that for your life or somebody else's life. And then you should pursue that, because the key thing is that you want to pursue what God's will is for you. And God's will for me may be different than God's will for you. So I hope you understand that. But I had to make a choice, and I knew that they were that very powerful people in the cable news business, the most powerful people there are, liked me, liked my program. They were sending limousines for me to appear on the bigger shows. But I knew their producers and their staff, and they themselves were checking out my website, et cetera, et cetera. And I knew I had Bible verses up on my website, and I knew I had articles on Bible prophecy. And I knew that when they were checking that out, which that's the way it worked, the way it is now, that when they were checking it out, that they would come across the fact that I was a Christian, because I wasn't hiding it. And they knew they would come across that I'm a believer in Bible prophecy, and they would come across that I believe in a biblical worldview, and because I didn't hide it. See, I could have hid it. Because let's say the way it worked back then with the Paul McGuire website is that at that time, 20 years ago, it was about half like secular type conservative content, and the other half was like biblical content. All I had to do was remove the biblical Bible prophecy content and make it all secular, but it would have a Christian kind of tone to it, but it would be a secular conservative news website. If I had done that, I would have made these powerful people in the cable news network industry very happy. But the Lord said, which way are you going to go? And again, I'm not making this is not a declaration of what you should do. Every person is different. I sought the Lord. The Lord told me, I don't want you to pursue, Paul, a career that's totally secular. No matter how big the show is, no matter how powerful you become, et cetera, et cetera. That's not my plan for your life. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm human like you are. What do you mean, God, that's not your plan for my life? I mean, I worked my whole life, and now, you know, I'd worked my whole life to get to a place where these opportunities would come to me. And then all of a sudden, God's saying, I don't want you to go in that direction. Well, that meant saying goodbye to a whole lot of money, a whole lot of power, a whole lot of prestige, and going into the ministry. And the reality is, you go into the ministry to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, these people who attack people, there are people that in the ministry, there are a number of people, you know, who are making millions and millions of dollars, and they fill up stadiums and stuff. But that's not by any means the average Christian minister, okay? So these people who accuse Christian ministers or people in media, these complete fools, really, they're fools, accuse all Christians in the media and stuff of doing it for money. Oh, you're doing it to sell books. Are you joking? Give me a break. Are you that uneducated about what you're talking about? I mean, you see these people attacking people I know and respect, people you know and respect. I see people attacking them and accusing them. You're just trying to sell your books. You're just trying to make money. Are you joking? I mean, really, get real. Land your UFO, man, and smell the grass. For crying out loud, any one of these people with even a modest amount of talent, if they went totally secular, they could make 100 times more money, power, prestige, and everything else. So give me a break. If you're in the Christian thing, you're not, unless you're one of these, you know, superstar evangelists or something, you're not going to make big money. Okay? So the point I'm trying to make is, not just for myself, but for others, being a Christian commentator, putting Christ first, leading people to Christ on the air and things like that, that's not the ticket to making a lot of money, okay? You're going to make less money. Because let me tell you the facts of life, and some of you need to know this, because I don't think, you know the facts of life in terms of how you got here. I understand that. But the facts of life, like in media and ministry, I want to tell you the facts of life. For some of you don't know it. And some of you need to know the facts of life so you can communicate to some of these real airheads who are attacking people in ministry who have no clue what ministry is about, accusing them of trying to get rich. What are you joking? I mean, you really got to be, you have to be a complete ignoramus to accuse the typical minister or pastor or Christian media person of being in it for the money. You got to be really a dimwit to say that. That's not where the money is. The money is if you go secular, period. End of story. Get real. So the point is that my God is not money. I want to say that again. Paul McGuire's God is not money. I have a theory, I can't prove it, that a lot of these people who are attacking legitimate ministers, who are either Bible prophecy teachers or authors or speakers or pastors or whatever, evangelists, these people who attack them. I'm not talking about the small minority of people in ministry who are multi-millionaires and pack out stadiums and, yeah, they're making a ton of money. But that is the tiny percentage, okay? The rest of the ministers are making a modest income, if that, based on the amount of hours, time, energy, and commitment they put into it, okay? And you should know that because the economics of being in the ministry essentially make it impossible for you to make a ton of money, like if you were in the secular business. So when I said no to some pretty big offers, I was saying no to a lot of money. I was saying no to a limousine picking me up to take me to the television studio. I was saying no to first-class air tickets all over the world for news events and stuff. I was saying no to a lot. I never travel first class unless somebody offers to pay it, and that's rare. Because I don't, if you do see me in first class, don't say I'm a hypocrite. It's because somebody decided to pay for it. I don't ask for it because I know that a lot of places I'm invited to speak wouldn't be able to hold their ministry events if me and some of the other people burden them with demands for first class airfare. So, you know, I don't take first class. So the point I'm trying to make is that the Lord told me, I want you to teach people about what's going on in the world. Be like a news commentator, but do it as a minister through the lens of Bible prophecy, because people are hungry for that information, and it's not available in the secular news media. So, you're not listening to a bitter man. I could care less about all that money. I was never motivated by money anyway. Now, some people are. I'm not. I never have been. It doesn't mean I don't want a certain amount of money, because you need a certain amount of money to do things. But I've never, and I don't pat myself on the back about this, because it's not an inner virtue of mine. It's just kind of like a non-issue with me. So the point is that when I go to these conferences and I hear a steady stream of people coming up to me saying, I got saved listening to your program. It's never ending. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior listening to your program. I got delivered, and they'll say something. I met a person, I don't want to reveal their identity, but this happens a lot too. They were set free. They began listening to my program. Why? I hear this all the time. It's almost weird. I hear how often I hear this. People come up to me at conferences and say something to the effect of, the Holy Spirit told me to listen to you. Or I was surfing through YouTube. I was surfing for ministry stuff, and I came across your ministry, and the Holy Spirit told me, this is who I want you to listen to, Paul McGuire. Now, that's humbling. It's humbling, but it happens constantly. It happens constantly. And so this one particular individual that I met a couple of days ago was a victim of satanic ritual abuse, where they split this individual's personality into multiple, what they call, alters. See, they can't share that at your typical church or to a typical ministry, because these people have not only been brutalized by being the victims of satanic ritual abuse or MK Ultra mind control, not only or just being abused by a psychotic father or something, not only do they have to deal with the wounds of their abuse, then when they try to get healing and help in many churches and Christian ministries, they're treated like lepers. They're treated, people think they're crazy, they're making it up, they just need to go to a mental hospital and get medication. They're shamed. But see, I don't shame them. I believe their story. Now, I'm not an idiot, I use discernment, but I know what they experienced, you know, for the most part, was true. But even before they ever talk to me or meet me, the Holy Spirit tells them, this guy, Paul McGuire, is safe. I want you to listen. Now, you can say whatever you want to say, is that's God promoting this ministry. Because if you're seeking the face of God for what to preach, what the content is, and you're obeying God, he will promote you. And that principle, by the way, works for you in whatever field or business or ministry you're in. Not just religious-like stuff. Whatever, you know, if you're a plumber. Yeah, I'm going to interrupt the flow here just for a minute. I don't care what business, what field, what you do for a living, what kind of job you have. In any business or whatever, or job or field or occupation, whatever you want to call it, you always need to make money. You always need to hopefully increase that money, because cost of living always goes up. You always need some kind of job security, and you need promotion, you need favor, you need new customers, and many other things. Okay, you all know what I'm talking about. I don't care whether you're a house cleaner, a truck driver, or the CEO of the biggest corporation in America. Those variables come into play, right? Yes, absolutely. We all know this. Okay, so you should be diligent in your business or occupation, because God rewards the diligent. If you're going to be lazy, don't expect God to bless you. So given that, we're making an assumption that you're being diligent and learning your profession or occupation. I don't care if it's a house cleaner. You can see house cleaners who are lazy and sloppy and break people's stuff and can't wipe a window clean, or, you know, their people to the team that comes in will steal stuff from you. Come on. And then you see people who are excellent, who take pride in their work. You take somebody who's a house cleaner, I really want you to hear this principle, because it will radically change your life and bless your life. It will release blessing into your life. You take somebody who is a house cleaner or any other, what we would call a humble occupation, okay? A person who is diligent and honest and trustworthy. It's the law of use. The person who's diligent, honest, and trustworthy in the so-called lower level occupations, which is really a worldly term. God doesn't look at any of his children as lower level people, by the way, and neither should you. So, but the person in whatever occupation who's trustworthy, on time, diligent, studies to be the best. You say, well, how can a house cleaner do that? Well, let me give you a clue. I do house cleaning, okay? Not as a profession, but I'm not too good to clean the house or clean the toilet or whatever. And knowing something about, for example, what kind of sponges to use, what kind of mop to use, what kind of cleaning agent to use, that's knowledge about your business. That's being diligent. Because look, I'm not the greatest house cleaner in the world, but I figured out that if I want to clean a mirror surface, I'm going to spray one kind of cleaner on it. And if I use the wrong cleaner to clean a mirror, one with some kind of greasy thing in it, it's going to look terrible. But you can meet house cleaners who don't know that, because they've never even bothered to be diligent in the occupation they have. So what happens is, if God was to promote them, those same bad work habits will follow them if they get a higher paying job. And so you have people that God allows to get a higher paying job, a more prestigious job, if you will, more money or whatever. But because they never gave up their bad, non-biblical habits when they had the lower level job, their higher level, more money-making job doesn't work out because they were never diligent. See? That's called the law of use. Now, you understand that. So, at these conferences, I meet people continually who are accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For the first time in their life, after listening to the Paul McGuire Report, or our video program, or Roku, or reading my books, or whatever, hearing me minister, for the first time in their life, they understood the gospel. They always say, you take very complex things and make it simple to understand, and they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in large numbers. In addition, there are large numbers of people who hear the Paul McGuire Report and our other media outreaches who are backslidden. They had a bad experience with the church and Christianity, and they hear this program, and the Lord begins to heal them, and they return and rededicate their lives to Jesus Christ all the time. And then we make disciples of all nations, people who don't know what to do with their lives, what to do with their ministry. They get a biblical worldview from the teaching on this program, and they become disciples. So we are bearing fruit, see, measurable fruit. The fruit of this ministry is the fruit that Jesus Christ says is the eternal fruit that counts: salvation, deliverance, backsliders repenting, lives being healed, okay? This ministry produces fruit that is measurable. And God gives you a commandment. You're to pray for, support, and partner with ministries that bear fruit. And you're not to be partnering with ministries that don't bear fruit. And I'm not talking about, oh, you just have to give to Paul McGuire Ministries. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying wherever God is directing you to give, and it's bearing fruit, and if it's feeding you, and if it's feeding other people, you have a responsibility before Almighty God, not just to be fed and enjoy the spiritual nourishment that you're getting, if you're being spiritually fed through this program or somebody else's program, you have an obligation before God to support that program with your donations and contributions and prayers. Because that ministry and that minister is doing the job. They're being faithful, and you need to be faithful. Now, the other thing is, I constantly hear, the reason I started listening to your program is I was looking for answers. And see, this is by design, not by accident. I was looking for answers. I see the news, I'm not getting answers from the conservative networks, I'm not getting answers anywhere. I'm looking for a Christian voice that's educated, that knows what's going on, that can kind of like connect the dots for me. Well, that's what our ministry does. That's the hook. I'm a fisherman. That's the hook that we use as fishermen to get people closer to Jesus Christ. We give them the answers that they're hungering for. People are hungry for answers. We live in a very troublesome world, and people are hungry for answers. So this ministry gives them the answers they're looking for. And this is the fruit. So when I go to these conferences and I meet people who are, this one particular lady came up to me, started listening to me. The Holy Spirit told her to begin to listen to the program. And I cannot tell you how stunned and humbled I am over the years, but especially with the Paul McGuire Report radio program. That's roughly 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and a prophetic emergency alert video and our video outreaches and everything else, and the books. What I'm stunned about is how often the percentage of people who come to me uninvited, unsolicited by me, they just walk up to me at a conference, shake my hand, and will tell me something to the effect that the Holy Spirit led them to my ministry, or the Holy Spirit led them to watch the listen to the Paul McGuire Report, or to watch our video, or Holy Spirit told me to buy the book. The Holy Spirit told me to do this, this, that, and the other. And then I want you to listen carefully, because this is not about me. The driving intention of the message of today's program is not about me. It's about you. What I discovered is that God will promote you. God will give you favor. God will open doors for you in whatever business you're in if you adhere to and abide by his principles. Now, you don't have to be perfect to be blessed by God. Thank God for that, or none of us would be blessed. But you see, I'm going to make an assumption here that you're diligent with your work product and your work habits. I'm going to make an assumption that you're doing everything you can in like the physical areas, like shaking people's hands and smiling and, you know, all the rest of the people skills stuff. But then your work product, what you produce in terms of your work product, and that could be any kind of career or job there is, if you do it way above average. And Christians across the board should be way above average. Tragically, many Christians have a reputation for being below average. Christians should be above average in their work product. So people will see, people observe examples of what your work looks like, whether you're a house cleaner, whether you're a designer, a minister, whatever it is. People see physical, they can hear it, they can see it, they can make an evaluation on your talents and abilities based on the track record you leave behind. Now, that's a foundation that has to be put in place. But then, if you are seeking the Lord, and you don't have to be perfect, but if you're seeking the Lord, and then let's say the Lord convicts you, you know, you need to do better work product or whatever, you repent and ask God to help you. You get a fresh start. Isn't that wonderful? God doesn't condemn you. But in just about any area, you can significantly, I would even say double. I do say, I was speaking at one prophecy conference, and I told the people there that You can double your intelligence in 60 days. I believe that with all my heart. When you understand the bare minimum on how to expand your intelligence and your brain power, you can double your intelligence in 60 days. God doesn't create dumb people. And whatever business problem you're having, see, maybe you're not having one. Well, great, praise the Lord. And you need to teach us, you know. I always listen to people when they talk to me. They give me wisdom. So, you know, a lot of people having financial challenges, looking for a job. So, yeah, we have a tough economy. We understand that. The world is having a tough economy, by the way. Unfortunately, Christians can be affected by it. Let's not be naive. But if you're truly seeking the Lord, and you're trying to be honorable when no one's looking, so that means, and Christians don't want to hear this, but it's a biblical truth. If you, whoever your client is, whoever your boss is, you know, if you're producing excellence and you can be relied on without constant monitoring and supervision and stuff, you're an asset. And to the degree that your participation in any kind of job, whether it's a waitress in a restaurant, to the degree that your participation in a company, in a ministry, in a Christian restaurant, or whatever it is, to the degree that your participation in it revitalizes it, causes it to grow, thrive, and prosper, God will direct a way for you to enjoy the financial blessings that come with increase. In other words, when the business or whatever is increasing financially, you will enjoy the fruits of that increase. Now, there are some worldly businesses and there are some Christian businesses, etc., where they lock people out from enjoying the benefits of the increase, and that's very short-sighted because you're not going to grow. But you have to be realistic. You have to be able to contribute. In other words, you want to never worry about losing your job? Very simple. You make sure you're indispensable. You make sure that you are increasing the income, the cash flow, the customers, or whatever, for that business, and God will bless you. But you've got to, it can't be just, you know, verbally bragging about it. People have to see measurable results. And when people see measurable results, and when the business, when it's apparent that whatever business you're involved in, that your contribution, that your work product is producing results, God will bless you. See, the problem is that a lot of Christians think like people in the world. And they think, well, gee, I just do, you know, what I'm told to do, and I do it well, and I should be prospered and recognized. That's not how it works. You have to go above and beyond. You have to treat somebody else's business as if it was your own. Because when you do that, then God will grow your business. You see, if you're not being ethical in what you give the business you work for, like in terms of the amount of hours, are you giving quality hours? Are you seeking and praying? Are you finding ways to grow that business or enterprise or whatever? Because to the degree that you're actually growing it, generating cash flow and expanding it, that frees up money for that business or enterprise or whatever, or restaurant or whatever it is, to expand. When they have the money and the capital to expand, they will hire either additional employees, but most people I know that run any kind of business or even ministries would prefer to promote from within house, to give more responsibilities to people in house because they know those people and they trust those people. They would prefer to give increased pay and remuneration in house because hiring somebody new is always a risk. But if you think that you can go into a business, and this is like that, this was the same with the radio business. If you think you can go into a business and expect that you should be paid more without you delivering the more for that business, you're going to be you're circumventing God's law, and you're going to be met with resistance. You see, and the way you remove the resistance is not by being antagonistic, not by complaining. It's by producing more than you're getting paid for. You say, well, I'll get taken advantage of. You have to risk that. You have to risk that. I'm not saying you should be a doormat or a speed bump, but you have to risk that because your trust is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ in the Bible tells us that whatever we do, we should do it as unto the Lord. How many Christians do you know? Let's be honest. You've been around the block. How many Christians do you know that whatever they do in terms of jobs and everything else, they're doing it with the diligence as if they were doing it to the Lord? Very few. And then they wonder why they have financial problems, they're not getting promoted, their businesses are not taking off, et cetera, because there's a violation of kingdom principles. And then most of all, you want to do what God is telling you to do. So, for example, one of the ways I apply this principle with this ministry is I don't sit around and say, how can I make money for the ministry? How can I write a best-selling book? That is not how I approach writing or the ministry. Many people do it that way. That's not how I do it, because I think that's a very short-sighted approach. I seek the Lord. I try to be obedient to what God has told me to say, whether it's popular or unpopular. And I am convinced that if I'm syncing up my life with God and I'm saying what he once said, and it doesn't mean I have to be perfect about it or I have to be perfect, but that's my intent, then the blessing of God will come. And so you see, because I have chosen, and this is not about what a great guy I am, okay? If you think that's what it's about, you're missing the point. The reason the Holy Spirit is promoting the ministry, promoting the radio program, etc., and speaking to people about watching it, etc., is because people like you are obedient. You send the links to people. Praise God for all of you that do that. But because I'm being obedient to the Lord and saying what he wants saying, I'm willing to minister in the way that he wants people to be ministered to. I'm not following somebody else. I'm following Jesus. And these principles work whether you are in the ministry or in some kind of secular fields. So we are faced in America with some serious challenges. And the challenges, which I write about in my new book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. I had a very, very intelligent, sharp business person, a female, brilliant businesswoman, in the top, very top of her field. Okay? And she shared with me a number of things. And she talked about the recession of 2008. She said she didn't have a recession. She had the best year in her business. Why? Because she wasn't listening to the world. She was following the Lord. She was doing what the Lord was telling her to do in terms of running her business. But the Holy Spirit led her to my ministry because she's saying, God, lead me to somebody who can explain what's happening and who's biblically sound. So if I endeavor to obey that, and if I am busy about God's business, then he's busy about my business. In other words, the world doesn't understand this. Most Christians don't understand this. But God will give you favor. He will bring your name, your work product, to people's minds supernaturally if you do what he tells you to do. And you don't have to be perfect about it. Now, as simple of a formula as that is, it's not done. But I wanted to share with you from personal experience that it works. It's supernatural, but it works. It works. Because right now, America's facing enormous challenges. Oh, one of a number of the people in this very successful businesswoman's staff, this woman was a sharp executive. And she hires only sharp people. And some of her marketing people say, well, the title for his book is just wrong. Which the title is The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And I know what they meant by that from a marketing standpoint. If you look at the title for the book from a purely marketing standpoint, it is wrong. Now, this successful female executive hadn't yet met me, but she told her employees, because she knows something about me from listening to my ministry, that you can bet that Paul McGuire knows that it's not the best thing for a marketing decision to use that long title. But you can bet that he sought the Lord, and that's the title that the Lord told him to use. And she was right. I'm trained in marketing, etc., but I don't always adhere to those principles. From a marketing standpoint, anybody who's an expert in marketing, and I would agree with them, from a pure marketing standpoint, the title of the book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, is too long of a title. It won't fit on a page, it won't fit on the spine of a book, or it's problematic, it's too long. So you say, well, Paul, if it's too long and it violates rules of marketing, why would you use it? I'll tell you why, because there's a higher law than the law of marketing. And that is, I'm sitting in my studio writing the book, thousands of pages of research, I'm looking down, and I see in my handwritten letters the words, all in caps, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. And that's lying on the studio floor, and I'm seeing it as I'm writing the book. And that was a note I wrote to myself to remind myself, bad English, to remind myself that that's my topic, that's my focal point. I wasn't considering it as a title. It was a message to me saying, that's what your focus is. But then I said to myself, as I tried to shorten it or rework it for a title of the book, every time I chopped off The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind, and every time I chopped off the words in the history of the world or hearts and minds, it didn't feel right in the spirit. And so I believe the Lord was calling me to use the lengthy title, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, even though it's against marketing rules. Now, I'm open to correction. I could be wrong. Okay, and then I'll just shorten the title to The Greatest Battle. But I have to obey the Lord to the best. If I really believe that the Lord is telling me to use that full long title, then I need to obey him. It's better to obey the Lord than try to overrule the Lord. But sometimes we're all human beings and we miss the Lord. But my final decision was not based on world system marketing techniques. It was based on guidance from the Holy Spirit. That's what the church is missing today. That's what individual Christians are missing today. They're not willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. So we can turn. So let's get to the bottom line here. If we think purely in worldly terms, without using the mind of Christ, America is now in an irreversible path of destruction. We will become a socialist totalitarian, whether it's soft totalitarian, hard totalitarian, I don't know. But if we continue in our present path, America is going to be a totally non-free nation with economic problems like a third world nation and a loss of all freedoms. That's where we're going now. But see, I'm not despairing because I serve a supernatural God. I'm thinking supernaturally. I'm acting supernaturally. I know all things are possible with God. And if a remnant of 4% to 8% of true Christians will begin to seek the face of the Lord, pray for our nation, and then actually obey the Lord when he speaks to them, a miraculous transformation can happen in America. A biblical revival, a biblical third great awakening, and the powers of darkness can be driven off the land. Let me give you one more example before I close today's show. I don't want to name the name of the couple simply because if I name the name of this couple, then I'm obligated, I feel, to name the name of every couple. But, the couple that I'm referring to, they were totally non-professional, non-trained conference promoters, okay? And they produced this recent Bible prophecy conference I spoke at. So they were just regular people, not trained, but they were attending another Bible prophecy conference when the Lord spoke to them, and the Lord told them that the Lord wanted them to start producing Bible prophecy conferences. They were not trained to do that, but they were willing to obey the Lord. So they didn't give the Lord a bunch of excuses. No, we're not going to do it, Lord. They obeyed God, totally walked out by faith, and producing a prophecy conference is this big undertaking. And they produced a prophecy conference and did a very, very good job with it. Now, I know that God is going to bless them and their ministry. I don't want to give away a lot about them because I didn't ask their permission to say this. But you see, based on the attitude of their heart towards the Lord, their willingness to obey the Lord and not make excuses when God... See, how many Christians are called? I was thinking, I told this to them. I'll bet you God calls Christians in America all the time to do stuff. And guess what happens most of the time? Let's get real. Most of the time when God calls a man or a woman or a husband and wife or whatever, a ministry, a church or whatever, most of the time when God calls people to do something and obey him, they don't obey him and they don't do it. And therefore America goes downhill. And what these people who don't do what God tells them to do, once you get in the habit of telling God no when he tells you to do something, you better be very careful because you're going to discover that you're going to stop hearing the Lord asking you and commanding you to do stuff. And if you're a Christian and you do not regularly hear the Lord through his still small voice, if you do not regularly hear him speaking to you on a regular basis, commanding you to do stuff or correcting you or telling you to do this or do that or whatever, if you no longer hear the voice of the Lord instructing you and guiding you, let me explain why you no longer hear the voice of the Lord. Because somewhere along the line in your life, God began to speak to you, like he did that couple to promote the conference, and God commanded you to do something, and you acted like you didn't hear him, and you disobeyed him, and you didn't do it. Okay, the Lord's merciful. So the Lord, if you're honest, the Lord has approached you numerous times over numerous years, gently asking you to do things, and you had not done it. You didn't do it like this couple did. So what the Lord does habitually is he withdraws, in a sense, some of his presence from you, and he stops communicating with you. It's a form of loving chastisement, by the way. And so if you're not hearing the voice of the Lord your God, you know, at least every once in a while, him telling you to do something, it's because you got in the habit of saying no to him and making excuses. As such, he's not going to continue to lead and guide. That's a biblical principle. Now, all you need to do to change that is repent. You don't have to flog yourself. You repent. So I want to leave the program on this note. Okay? And again, you're going to get a copy of The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Do it. Now, pre-order today at paulmcguire.us where you'll get a discount on it. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for all the people that are listening, God. And Lord, we come now in repentance, Lord, because we're all guilty of this to one degree or another. Every one of us, including myself, Lord, that have heard your voice, and we did not obey it. We didn't follow through on your command or your instructions, or we didn't follow fully through it. All of us who are guilty of that, we ask you to forgive us now, Jesus, for not hearing your voice and acting on it, for not obeying what you told us to do. We repent, Jesus, right now. So that's you, repent. That's all you have to do. Lord, forgive me for hardening my heart against your voice. Forgive me for making excuses. Forgive me for not doing what you called me to do, Jesus. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me of my sin with your blood, Jesus. I receive your forgiveness by faith and your righteousness by faith, God. And Lord, I would like a fresh opportunity with your Holy Spirit. Give me a second chance, or third, or fourth, or fifth, or whatever it is. Lord, give me another chance. I ask you, I would like you, God, to speak to me once again. I'd like to hear your voice on a regular basis, Jesus. I want to hear you telling me that you want me to do this or that, or speak to me, Lord. And then, Lord, I ask that you give me the power so I can obey you. And forgive me in the past when I just did nothing. Because I want to walk with you supernaturally, God. I want to be the man or woman you called me to be. So I ask, God, that you give me a second chance and make my ears hear your voice and give me an obedient heart, Father. And then quite humbly, Lord, I ask you to bless me as I try to follow your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, it's a simple prayer. It's just an attitude change. You'll discover all of a sudden the Lord will start speaking to you again. But it's going to be a little bit of a test because in the past, you just ignored God. So when the Lord starts to speak to you, you're going to ask him for his help and strength to do what he's calling you to do. And if you do that, you'll notice that the Lord will start to speak to you more frequently and more frequently. And if you continue to obey the Lord when he calls you to do stuff, you'll discover that the Lord is going to bless you, expand you, multiply you in any possible area of your life that you can conceive of, any possible area at all. You can see the Lord's intervention and help. If you will get back into the mindset of making sure you hear the Lord when he speaks to you, and then you make a diligent effort to obey him and follow through, it will revolutionize your life. So I don't care how many miles down the wrong road you went, there's hope for you, okay? I mean, God is a very forgiving God. So don't worry. I don't care if you wasted decades of your life. Quit worrying about it. Repent now. Change. You can be blessed. And more importantly, God can use you as a channel of blessing to this nation and to help other people. God bless you. I'm Paul McGuire. I really pray and hope that that encouraged you. Visit paulmcguire.us, paulmcguire.us. Be sure to spread this message far and wide. God bless you. I'm Paul McGuire. Oh, join me at the big disclosure conference this week. You need to be there in Orange County. You can get all the information on paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. There's a giant disclosure poster. A lot of great speakers are going to be there. A ton of them. Derek Gilbert will be there. I've been with Derek in two conferences in the last 4 weeks. L.A. Marzulli will be there. Many other speakers will be there. You need to be there. And you can still sign up. Go to paulmcguire.us. You'll see the poster, all the speakers, all the times. And if you click the poster, it'll take you right to the site where you can sign up for either live streaming and watch it anywhere in the world, or you can physically attend. You need to go to these conferences. You will be fired up. You'll be loved and accepted. It won't be like some freaky church thing where somebody's going to treat you like you're weird. You will be loved and accepted. I know the couple that God raised up to do these Hear the Watchman conferences, of which the Disclosure conference is part of that. Mike and Jeannie Kerr, the idea for this conference ministry they have was born in my church, Paradise Mountain Church, when I was praying for them. The Lord spoke to them, and they picked up, and they totally went out by faith. Totally went out by faith. So you want to find out about that conference. So go to paulmcguire.us. There's a giant Disclosure poster there. You can see all the speakers listed, the times, etc. Physically attend. If you can't do that, then get the live streaming. But you know, there's nothing like fellowship. That's important for me too. We all get beat up in this world, people like you and me. We get beat up because we're marching to a tune of a different drummer. And I get tired, and I'm sure you do too, of, oh, there are conspiracy theories and all the rest of that nonsense. Why not hang out with fellow believers and be edified and strengthened? You know, it's a great thing. You need to be there. I'll be there. It's this weekend. I think it starts either on Thursday or Friday. You've got to be there. And here's my challenge to you. If you're not there, what are you doing in terms of what's your excuse for why you wouldn't want to come to something as dynamic as that? Are you going to sit home and watch reruns of Baywatch? I mean, really, I'm serious. What if you can't physically travel there, then you should at least live stream. God bless you. I'm Paul McGuire.